as Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 6, we have to be prepared. Prepared. And it was interesting, at school this week, there's a little shed down on the soccer field. And the rain came, and the winds blew, and a terrible storm caused the bank to begin to give way, and the bank began to come down, and there's a little shed that the seniors set up their concessions in. It's not supposed to be a firm building and stand the test of the mountain coming down the hill. And as it came down and hit that shed, it moved the shed right off from where it was supposed to be. Because that's what happens when your foundation is not sure. Have you ever seen, I know that, I think about Tim and all the foundation work that he's done, I'm sure. He's seen some rough foundations. And many of you have seen rough foundations not put in properly. And a lot of water gets underneath it. It freezes and it heaves. And have you ever seen that when all of a sudden the floor that's supposed to be level has a large hump in it because there wasn't a good foundation? The building has not moved. Can you remember, a friend of mine said, if you're going to build a building that you want to stick around, you better have a good foundation. I wouldn't consider building a building and putting the investment into it unless it had the proper foundation. And I think Jesus Christ had the same thoughts and the same ideas. Now, the shed at school, they weren't worried about that sure foundation just for that little shed that the seniors would set up in their concessions. And so, big surprise. It wasn't a surprise to anyone that when the dirt and stuff came down the mountain, it could slide that shed out of the way. But that shed is small enough that they can put it back into where it needs to be. But when the real trials of life happen, what is our foundation on? And that's what I'd like to talk about this evening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have a plan for us. And Lord, in your plan for this world and for our lives, you have allowed us to work with you, to accept you as our personal Savior, to make you the foundation of our lives and to build on that foundation. And I pray that you might help us to do that, and I just pray that you might help us to glorify you as we live and as we grow in our faith. May we live for you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bibles this evening to the book of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and I'd like to read verses 46 to 49 of Luke chapter 6. From Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, it says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard did nothing, like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And so the first thing that we need to understand as we read this passage is that as Jesus is talking here, and he says in verse 46, he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" So first of all, as we look at the audience that Jesus is talking to, the people But Jesus is warning here, because Jesus was so good at warning people. He was good at encouraging people and reaching out to the lost and the sick, but he gave a lot of warnings. As a matter of fact, in my Bible, if you go to the book of Matthew, I've done this a few times in the book of Matthew, and I just write in red letters, warning, every place that Jesus gives a very strict warning to his audience. And you can turn the page, it almost reads like, warning, 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 as you turn the pages. Because as much as Jesus Christ was an encourager of the lost, brought salvation, he also warned people. And here, he is warning the nominal Christian. The person, he says here, that says, you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say. And maybe you've met this person who says, you know, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God. But then you begin to, like it's talking about in the previous things that Jesus was talking about, he's talking about somebody who doesn't have fruit that back up their claims that they're a follower of Christ. And Jesus often says, by your fruit, you will know them. And so as Christians, we not only need to acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord, if he is our Lord, there will be fruit to back up our claims. And that's very, very, very important for us to understand. And so as I look at this, there's a few things that I understand as he begins to talk about building this foundation, having our faith build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The first comes over from a verse in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. In Hebrews 12, 14, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so I actually, as I was reading this verse, I wanted to carefully look at this passage of Scripture and this idea and thought before I open my talk on building a firm foundation on Jesus Christ. And as I look at this verse, and it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, and without which no one will see the Lord. This morning in the men's Sunday school class, we were talking about how in James, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And we talked about how the trials lead to patience. And patience, when it has completed its work, makes you perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And we got to that word, you know, perfection. We talked about as Christians living this perfect life. And what did we all as a group of men, what did we do when we got to that item of being a perfect Christian without sin, living a holy life before God? We kind of chuckled because we know that in and of ourselves, we're not perfect. And so, but it says here, holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so I began to put that into this idea of building on the foundation of Jesus Christ and to begin to look at our lives as a building. And God says those people who are going to stand before him one day, those are people who are perfect and holy. And 1 Peter calls us to be holy, holy. And I thought, if we're a building, I was thinking about like this building. I won't forget the day when Rick and Tim said, the more we look, the more we can see this little problem over here, and the more you examine, you look at your house or a building down the street, the more problems you're going to find. And that's true in our lives. But what God wants and what He desires and how He desires us to live is holy lives. And all of a sudden, we all go, oh, I'm falling short in that area. But the most important part of the building is the foundation. And if your foundation is on Jesus Christ, and you count on His holiness, and the blood of Jesus Christ, to begin to work in your life, you can one day, through His salvation, stand before the Father, covered in the blood, washed from your sins, new and fresh. We all know that we have sin. I'm not trying to make it seem like, as a Christian, that if you sin, you have lost your salvation. Or if you would commit a sin and then immediately die here on earth, that you would not be allowed to stand before God because you are not holy. I know that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is that we are a sinful people, and sin, even after we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, still tries to drive its way into our heart. The devil wants nothing more than to destroy our lives, our families, and our relationship with Jesus Christ, and he will continue to try to bring us down and to try to destroy our lives and to allow temptations to draw us away from the Lord. Let's look again in Luke chapter 6, and I just kind of like to look at verse 47. So if we'll turn back to Luke chapter 46, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. In verse 47 it says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. That's in Luke 6:47. It says, but whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. So I saw in there three things that we need to do. We need to come to the source of the firm foundation. We need to hear the architect who is building this structure. And we need to be going about our business being a building that is prepared for the work of the Master. So first we need to come to the source of that holiness, the source of the firm foundation. We need to hear the words of our Lord and Savior, the architect who has a design and a plan for our lives. And then we need to become a building that is prepared for the work of the Master. I see all that in Luke chapter 6, in verse 47. Now, as I've said that, let's look at that again. It says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. So now let's take a look and let's look at all three of those things. Coming and hearing and doing. The first one is come. Let's turn over in the book of Isaiah to Isaiah chapter 1. Right now I'm reading through in my personal devotions. I'm reading through Isaiah and Genesis. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 to 19 are some of my favorite verses. It says in there, in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 to 19, it says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall see the good of the land." So here I said that we need to come to the Lord for forgiveness of our sins and for freedom from our sins. This passage is part of what I call the do right passages of the Bible. Hating and stopping evil and changing our lives to do that which is right. I kind of wrote down a couple of verses next to Isaiah chapter 1 in my Bible. I wrote Job 1:1, Psalm 97, Romans 12:9, Amos 5:15, Isaiah 5:20, Zephaniah 3:3, Proverbs 8:13, 3 John 11, Matthew 5:16, Psalm 51:7 and 10. I know you didn't get those all down, but I've got more in other places in my Bible. But in those places, I have this idea: hate that which is evil, turn and run to that which is good. We need to come to a Savior who wants to not only clean your lives from sin, He wants you to free you from the power that it has over your life. And that's part of his building a proper foundation in your life. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Psalm 51. That was one of those verses that I had read. In my study, I didn't have to go very far to find that verse, Psalm 51 and verse 7, because I had it written down in my Bible right next to Isaiah chapter 1. And so I looked at a couple of these verses as I was preparing this. I said, I want to go to Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, in verse 7, it says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew steadfast spirit within me." We need to come to a God that wants to change our lives and start us out on a firm foundation. In Luke chapter 6, I said that the first thing that God called us to do was to come to the source of the firm foundation. What was the second thing that he wants us to do there in Luke chapter 6, hear what the architect has to say. We need to come to the source of that firm foundation and then hear what the architect has to say. When I think of that word hear, there's a passage of scripture in the Old Testament. It's given a special name by people that know it and love it for a long time. And that word just means listen. That's what it means. It means listen. Listen up. And that's the Shema. Jesus Christ quoted it when he said, he talked about what the most important principle it was for us to know about our relationship with God. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so when we talk about come to the source of the firm foundation, and then hear the architect who wants to build, The first place that I think of in the scriptures when I think about listening to God and hearing his voice comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, where it starts out, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." I don't know about you, but that's something I want to live by. And it's something that I want to have in my life and to be important. So I think about what God said to the children of Israel here and what God would say to you if he said, "Listen up." That's what that word Shema means. Listen, hear, let it sink in. The Lord our God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. When I think about that word hearing, the next thing I think about is John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28 in Jesus Christ's Good Shepherd Discourse. And in his Good Shepherd Discourse in John chapter 10, in verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. I and my Father are one." It says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. You know why? It's because of what Jesus said. He was looking back at what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he was saying, "I'm part of that Deuteronomy chapter 6. And they got offended because Jesus was claiming to be part of the one in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And they were offended. That's why they took up stones. Those two verses are intrinsically, they are part of each other. You can't understand John chapter 10 without understanding Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so as we look at that passage, I think of Charlie Clark. He taught at camp every single summer. I'm sure Brad was there all the time. I'm sure he remembers that. He told this story every single summer about the one time he went to Missouri and he put his grandson, not Brad, another one, in charge of taking care of the sheep. And so Charlie was gone, and Charlie told the story every single year. And he said, "I headed off to Missouri. I put my grandson in charge of the sheep. And I said, 'You got to move the sheep from one pasture to the other.'" And his grandson says, "Yeah, Grandpa, I've seen you do that 100 times. And you've done it. Yeah, I can do it, Grandpa." So Charlie got back from Missouri. And his grandson said to him, "Grandpa, I couldn't get those stupid sheep to change from one pasture to the other. They just wouldn't come. I called them. I chased them. I ran around the field. Couldn't get them to do anything." And Charlie always said, "I went to the back door and I went outside. I yelled for the sheep. And a minute later, what do you think was running across from the field where they were supposed to?" He said, "I didn't even have to leave my back door. Just holler out the back door, and those sheep knew exactly what they were supposed to do. They just needed to hear the voice of the shepherd." Now, Charlie does have a very unique shepherd's voice. That's for certain. And our Savior has a very unique shepherd's voice. And he knows where he's leading, and he knows how to build the foundation of your life. You need to listen to what he has to say. Let's look over in our Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And they kind of use this as a segue verse from not only coming to the source of the firm foundation, hearing what the architect has to say, but be about going about doing the work of building on that firm foundation, becoming a vessel, a building ready for use by the master. It says in James chapter 1, in verse 19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath." And in verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." God's got a plan for your life. Starts out with coming to Him for salvation. And then it takes taking your life, no matter how much of shambles it's in, into building on the foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent to this world to save you from your sins by His death on a cross and resurrection from the dead, and then to build on that and to get you active in serving Him. I hope you desire to do that. We've talked about coming to the source, listening to the architect. Next week, when we take our Bibles and we open them again, we're going to get ready to dig and begin to build a foundation. It's not an easy thing to do, to dig into hard soil. Especially when, can you picture doing it with a pick and shovel? But even if you get an excavator and you dig it and you hit a rock, and I just hear an excavator, the teeth scraping against a rock as it's digging that foundation. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's important. In this passage here in Luke chapter 6, God says, you got to dig deep. Next week, we're going to talk about digging deep, having the right foundation, and being a servant of Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that? You ready to dig deep into your heart, knowing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the foundation for your life, and then building on it? I hope so. Prepare your heart next week as we begin to dig. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might help us to come to the source where we can find salvation at the cross. Help us, Lord, to listen to your word. And then, Lord, as we begin to read your word and listen to the truth, I pray that you might help us to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we might just be ready and prepared as trials and temptations try to destroy us and to bring us down. Help us to live for you daily. In Jesus' name, amen.